And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 142.
142.
This is Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I am one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm the other one of your hosts, Samantha Rund.
And together we are Black and a Half, and we bring this weekly show to you. This comedy show, this podcast, this
musing of our minds,
the musing of our minds and our hearts. We bring you into the warmth, our love, and welcome you here. And it's just us today. It's another in the series of Just Us programs. It's our pre-Christmas episode. There's so much going on. I don't know about you, Samantha. It's amazing how I have so much going on, yet I do nothing right now. Like it takes a lot of work.
Like so much going on, like emotional turmoil and stress management.
I pee all over the house right now because we're potty training. But
I'm so glad you finished that sentence that way.
I almost got a hang of it. It's so doing that, and I can't leave the house much, you know, and it's getting cold outside and everything's decorated. So, but I got stuff to do. I got presents to wrap and I got things to do. And yet I don't know. I just don't feel like, but I have nowhere to go or nothing to do. And I feel swamped. So that's why it was like the show happened. I was like, wait, I don't have a guest booked. But I was like, you know what? That's okay. Because I need to talk to my homegirl.
That's right. Homeboy. I love it when we have a guest, and I love it when we get to talk just us too. Yes. Like, either way, it's a fun time.
And now that I'm in a studio, which if you're watching the video, you can see a little bit because I couldn't get the green screen on all the way. Every time I come in here, I have like a couple cards of guests that I want to have on. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I should have, if this card was in the other room, maybe I would have called, but I haven't been in here in a week. So,
right. I mean, there's too much pee to get through.
I had to wade through, wading through my boy. Oh, this is my third child. It's the first one I've had to potty train.
Oh,
because I had daycare and they took care of that for me.
Really?
So now I'm stuck. And here's the problem. Like when they're at daycare, there's peer pressure and they see the big kids doing it. So they want to do it. Here, it's a sister. So he doesn't give a shit. He's like, whatever. I don't know. What? You'll take care of this. Why do I need to do this? I don't know what you're trying to do. But he doesn't seem to care much. And I'm like, I got to get you. The only reason we're trying to push it now, because we do think he's old enough and ready. Yeah. He has some signs. He is growing out of diapers.
Oh, wow.
Like.
Do you give him treats and stuff every time he goes potty in the toilet?
Maybe if he does, I will. Eventually. Oh. If he ever does it.
If he ever does.
Right now, it's just, hey, I went potty. Ah,
dang it.
So no, and I'm explaining to go potty before and trying to explain time to the child, and it's not
right.
It's like I might as well explain time to the dog, right? That I don't have. Neither of them care about time. But so this episode is Samantha and I chit chatting about some things happening in our life and some things that we've been seeing lately, and it's us
talking about
it's us
conversing. So much content.
I mean, this is to some degree, this was the fastest episode I think we've had in a while. I was like, holy crap, it's over. We gotta go.
I know, right?
Which is nice. It's nice. It's relaxing. But so it's a hostful, you could say. Anywho, today's episode, as always, brought to you by a day job. What we really do for money. if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, and you're looking to buy or sell a home, you can email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. Or you can listen to my other podcast called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. And where Silas Lindenstein, real estate agent with Skyline Properties, will teach you the process of buying or selling a home. And that podcast has gotten to number 25 on Apple Podcasts in the how-to section in the United States. I feel like there's a lot of disclaimers in that. In the U.S., under the how-to section, let's be clear. They have 81 sections.
Don't undersell yourself. That's still funny. Amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah.
And you're helping people like all over.
Nationally.
Right?
World. People in other countries listen. I don't know how helpful it is if it's different there. I don't know. But, you know, it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
But yeah, it's brought to you by that. And it's also brought to you by?
Yes. It's also brought to you by Beyond Technique Coaching. So if you're looking for a coach to help you use performance skills to empower yourself in voice, body, and mind to help you out in life and work, you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. And you could follow my other podcast, Beyond Technique with Samantha Rund. This past week I had on a top photographer, Joanna DeGeneres, and she has a lot of interesting tips there. So,
She gives out DeGeneresly?
Oh, right. Definitely. She was really cool. Super humble. I know what you did. I just didn't acknowledge it.
That joke.
Oh, boy.
Dad joke in the house.
Ooh, dad jokes.
I'll listen to that. You know what? I'm going to get Samantha. This is an example that you can use her business, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I was telling her that she needs to go to real estate agents and teach them how to talk to people normally, right? Like everybody, like if you're in a company now and you do sales or whatever, right? You probably have scripts and you're supposed to follow a script, but it sounds like you're reading from a script. Samantha can help you make that sound natural, right? Because it's, With the techniques that she teaches you, it'll empower you and you'll be better and it won't sound like you're on a script and you'll probably be the best salesperson in your region.
Thanks, Silas. Thanks for pointing that out. And you're right, because I hadn't thought of that, like, you know, that quite yet. And yeah, I've done so many industrials over the years and jargon that I mean, I'm calling it jargon because I don't understand the technical terms when I'm playing an IT director and a COO and all of these high-powered people in corporate shoots for Microsoft and all sorts of other companies. And so, yeah, I can do that on camera when I don't know what I'm talking about. So I can definitely help you do it in real life when you do know what you're talking about. Yeah, definitely that the translatable communication skills for sure.
And I will say,
really fun.
That's your job. Like, that's you teaching people, right? But I've taken it for granted, I think. Me doing a podcast about something boring like real estate and teaching people how to buy and sell home. I think that's one of the reasons I'm number 25. Because if you listen to some of the other ones, they're not as comfortable just talking to people. It's something for sure. That as a performer you learn and you as a teacher know how to teach the people how to be like us, right? Like there's way more experienced real estate agents than me that are doing podcasts, but they don't sound like it. they don't have that edge. And
right.
This is why theater people are the most valuable people in the world. And we just need to be recognized, right? For it.
I feel like you were serious, but also a little tongue in cheek. And no, I feel like I can neither confirm or deny that.
I'm pretty serious.
I don't think
nobody will ever take us seriously, really, you know, even though we're needed desperately.
Boy. Yeah, that's the part. No, it's not that. I wouldn't say that we're the most valuable people in the world because everybody's valuable. But everybody is valuable. Yeah. Everybody is valuable, yes. But it, it a tremendously valuable skill set that is taken for granted. Skills. Yes, it's yeah.
Boom. You want skills? Bring an actor. That's what I'm saying. They'll do it. And cheaply.
And oh,
we will,
boy.
And we will undersell ourselves. And we'll do it for
no
publicity.
No.
No? Okay.
I'm too old to be underselling myself now. I've been doing it for too long to undersell.
Okay, look, Samantha, we're not gonna pay you, but we have a lot of exposure that we can just exposure is like the new Bitcoin. Right?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I said oh my goodness way too loud into the microphone right here.
Valuable.
I said it way right. It depends what project we're talking about here, right? But you know what? You know what? I read, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Do you hear the Grammys asked Tiffany Haddish to host for exposure? Well, they weren't going to pay her and they said it's great exposure.
Like nobody knows who she is.
Absolutely absurd. That's like,
well, the Super Bowl doesn't pay.
The Super Bowl doesn't pay?
They don't pay the halftime performers.
They don't pay the halftime. I told you I don't know much about football.
No, they don't pay them because they get exposure.
Well, they do get a lot of exposure.
So usually that's why they have an album coming out right when it like.
Right. Well, okay. That would make sense.
Yeah, but still, it is obscene. Like, you don't pay.
It is obscene. And then you know what's even more obscene? And she's like, no, thank you. You know, she's like, I'm an A-list celebrity. No, thank you. I think I've got enough exposure. Yeah. I don't need to be doing this for free. Yeah. But then with the whole scandal for the freaking halftime show last year, like, even though I don't really watch much football, the scandal was so much that I even had to watch the videos. It was people were all mad about Shakira and J-Lo.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
That was and so here's the not thing. A scandal they, to me that that's why I forgot that it was.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't find it to be a scandal either. You see how the cheerleaders are normally dressed anyway. Yeah. But oh my goodness.
But they're black.
Scandal upon almost, scandal.
They're the minorities like, though.
And yeah, but it was also for free. So it's like why are people are going to it was for free though. It was free scandal. The other thing and I need to be quiet already so we can get into this already, but I watched this very long YouTube video, news article or something, video article about how cheerleaders are treated. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, I shouldn't say crazy. That's so judgy. But yes, I was being judgy there.
Oh, they're treated. Like, treat people better.
Yeah. They're athletes too. That's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it's hard work.
No, it's a skill set. I mean, all their dancing and this and that. And then they have to fit into the contract of how they have to look and all the money it would take to upkeep their appearance and their nails and their hair and everything like that.
Hey, if wasn't for our contract, I wouldn't be keeping this up the way I am. Let me tell you.
You know, and I value that, you know, every week we get to do this show. It's a great conversation for my ears and some eye candy for my eyes.
Exactly.
So,
you know. Can't disappoint everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, you're get ready for a great episode. So here we are, episode number let me see, open your hearts and open your ear holes for episode number 142, Unexpected Greatness.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive.
Got, whoa, I almost spilled. That would have been horrible.
You got a drink.
A drink.
Is that some whiskey?
It is rum.
Oh, it's a fancy. Captain?
It is no,
what kind of. I don't know what kind of rum you drink.
A Fleur something. It's I buy expensive rum now. Oh, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah, because like you scoffed at me asking.
It's a cheap.
I don't know.
It's a cheap wine. I mean,
cheap rum. I don't know.
I didn't know. It was a few years ago that I started getting into pricier rums. My wife got me a Christmas present.
Oh, that's
like
nice. A nice
rum. Because I was like,
yeah. Rum.
And so then I've discovered sipping rums.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a new thing. And now, like, we decided we don't, I like to say, I don't drink very much. So when they do, it's nice to have something a little better that I'll sip on rather than shots.
Right.
That's the theory.
I mean, me, I'm like a shots queen. That was just.
That is you.
All of them.
Tequila and lime.
Just knocking them back.
Boom.
I feel like I've probably had like 5 shots in my life so far.
Really?
Probably. Like I've maybe 10. I don't know. I've barely ever had
any. What kind of boring college did you go to? I mean.
Oh, I didn't.
How did they not? My theater department was.
No, I don't think I drank any alcohol until I was 21.
Is that because you're a rule follower? Is that the.
Yeah. Well, maybe I had like a sip of wine, like at, I think like at a friend's house, because you were allowed to if you were like there with their dinner, you know?
Ooh.
Or like, yeah, no. But
did your mom know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, did I have like a sip or she did with her parents? I don't know. But yeah, no, like we didn't, like my mom doesn't really. We never really had much like alcohol in the house anyway. So it wasn't something I really thought of.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I never knew if that like, I mean, I guess it's different for everybody, which is the answer to everything. So I have discussions. But
right.
Like I thought the not having it usually makes people more interested.
Oh, for sure. No, like people wanted to get me drunk so badly.
Hmm.
So badly. Mm-hmm.
I will say
it's like a challenge for them.
I mean, I drank at parties a little bit, but I was always very clear. I'm like, it's not legal, so I don't want to do too much. Like, I don't want to get in trouble kind of level. So at like, and when I say at parties, it was theater parties. They're very boring. You sat around talking about shows and musicals, drinking fine quality beers. And wines. They were a little ridiculous. Now, I wouldn't look back at them and go, that was there. I never went to Ragers. If I did, I just thought everybody was dumb and like it wasn't my scene. Because nobody talked about anything.
Yeah.
Like just, it was a complete talk about, I don't know, I don't even know, like it'd be dumb and I'd leave. I'd be like, I feel like my theater department, we're discussing life and literature and
yeah,
we're going to do and that's not what they did.
Right. I feel like my general modes for being at a party would be, well, one, get with just one other friend or like a small group of friends to have a deep discussion about something.
Yeah.
Let's play some sort of game, eat the snacks or dance.
Okay.
There could be no talking as long as there was lots of dancing. That's okay.
Okay.
But like light talking, light boring talking just to be an ambiance. No, thank you.
Light talking?
Well, I mean like, you know, like surface talking, like party talk or whatever, just boring. I don't know. Although right now that doesn't sound so boring because the idea of like actually getting to go to a party and be around people in festivities is like, when can we do that again?
It's a skill sort of to be able to handle talking about nothing. Like small talk. Like I think small talk is a skill to. I don't know because
we talked about this on the show?
Probably.
Before?
I talk all the time about how I hate real estate agents.
Oh.
I say that as a real estate agent.
Oh.
Because you have some that when they're at a party, they don't disagree with anything. They kind of go with whatever the flow of that is. They never express like their opinions about things Like, even if you asked them Marvel or DC, they'd be like, you know, they both have good qualities. Like, come on, stand for something. They don't want to offend anybody.
Wait a second. Are you talking about me? I'm pretending I'm a real estate agent at one of those parties.
Oh my goodness.
I should be a real estate agent. I do have an opinion about some things.
You hold them back a lot.
Yeah, I do. But also sometimes I'm like, let me hear this out and let's see which one.
I feel like you would have an opinion more at like a party where you're not like, it's not a huge platform.
Yeah. Like you're less I suppose,
afraid
right?
of that. Of what's gonna, you know,
ramifications. I suppose once you know you're being recorded, you also want to be like, do I really agree with what I'm about to say? Is it just like, I'm not like improv-ing it right now?
Or am I just being funny?
Is that, right, exactly. Like, or is it just like a, I don't know. I guess there might be an extra awareness to know that you're being recorded. And would I be okay if there was a soundbite of this? Yeah, exactly.
That's why I never wanted this videotaped early on.
Well, what's the difference if it's videotaped or audio recorded?
Audio recording, people, absolutely. When you're in a room with them,
Yeah.
Okay. I've had people just open up completely, and you listen to people's podcasts, and when they're just... You do somewhat forget that there's an audience there, even though you know the same as the audience when you're being videotaped. Because the second you're being videotaped, you're thinking about how your shoulders are. Like right now, I'm like, why am I, my height's different than Samantha's? That's a little odd.
Man.
You get so much more to think about, where I think if you're just focused on the story that you're telling or what you're talking about, you can easily forget. And it seems like there's just the two people talking. And that's what, I don't know why, but it's definitely, things are different the moment this camera was turned on.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do kind of sometimes, I feel like we sometimes forget that we're recording when it's just us talking.
I just don't care what anyone ever thinks of me.
But I think the other thing is it's like the out of sight, out of mind thing, right? Yeah. Because when you're recording audio, it's not like, I guess the microphone is in their face, but it's not like...
Yeah, but it's... Yeah. I think we're so used to microphones that we're like, it's all right. But that's why I love listening to podcasts. It's that... You know, they're very intimate experiences. Yeah. Videos just aren't intimate for the most part.
Yeah.
Unless that's what they're for.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And that's my... That's my TED Talk.
That's your TED Talk.
Would your TED Talk be your business?
Ooh, I have a few different TED Talks that I want to do. And one of them is connected to what I do in my business. Yeah.
What's one of your non-business related TED Talks?
I don't know.
You don't know now? Okay.
No, I mean, I was mostly focused on the business related ones. So I'm sure I got a non-business one in me somewhere.
You probably have, I'm just wondering if you have an expertise in an area that would be unexpected or something that is like, you can give like, no, I'm going to do a TED Talk on the pyramids and how the pyramids relate to our life today, how we can.
That would be cool, but I do not know very much about pyramids at all.
It was an example.
What about you, though?
My TED Talk that I'm currently working on is why everyone should have a podcast. And I'm not kidding. Everybody. Why everyone should have a podcast. That's my main one. I'm trying to develop the one that's about being mixed. I just don't know the point. That's what I'm trying to come up with. It's the point of it. Like, besides just sharing my story, you know, like what it's going to mean. Like, I think there's a lot of insight that you get being mixed since you're an outsider at all times. And yeah, that's, those are the things that I think about a lot. And also probably, I don't know, probably something about love. Like my wife and I being so completely different in so many ways. And how, like we never would have probably met on online. Never would have. Our answers would not have matched up, probably. Unless there's like, unless they are really good and figuring out, no, these people are going to get along despite all these things.
Well, right, because I mean, the differences are like preferences for things you're interested in. It's like
religion, different
than like
religion. That's big.
Yeah, but underlying like moral compass or values about life.
Yeah, because I think she probably wouldn't have said like, "I won't date somebody." She wouldn't have X'd out anybody, probably, though I might have. I don't know. I might have. I could have.
I bet she probably would have X'd out some people, but maybe if she's like me,
religious wise, I don't think so.
No. I would say like more like character trait based.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying religion. Right. I don't think she would have said, right, "I absolutely will not date someone who doesn't believe in these four principles of religion."
Mm-hmm.
She's open. She's a wonderful person, and mm-hmm. I'm not. And that's why we wouldn't have put. That's why we wouldn't have been put together. And so there's something there. And so I think there is something about love being transformative, is that the right word? More like how it leaps over things for you, mm-hmm. you know, get you there. Somewhere on that. So I've got a lot of important things to say, basically, is the thing.
Yeah. Totally.
Why everyone should be. Are all TED Talks mini plays? Is there a degree that they're mini plays?
You could say anything is a mini play.
That's true. Well, I've also thought about, I'm going to do a t-shirt. Everything I've know in life, I learn from sci-fi. It's going to be I thought I could do something like that.
Yeah.
As a play. But maybe it's a TED Talk.
My sipping water.
Maybe it's a TED Talk since we don't have plays now. Since plays are over.
My goodness. Speaking of plays, or it connects. Did you see Viola Davis recently on 60 Minutes?
I wanted to read that. You posted that article.
Yeah. Watching the video is better. Like I... somebody shared that. So fortunately, that was a nice thing I saw on the Facebooks. Well,
for the listeners,
I saw the 13-minute interview today, and I think the one that I had shared was only like a 2-minute clip or something.
Okay.
But the clip on Facebook was basically she was saying that all artists have imposter syndrome.
Okay.
And like her point being that because we're all about like process, like an artist. Like artists are about process and not like celebrity. I mean, but talking about artists, some are celebrities, but you know what I'm saying? That's the mindset of progress, the mindset of knowing like you're continuing to grow and continuing to work. And because of that, the other side of that is you feel like an imposter because you never feel finished.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what I got from the article. Okay. And I thought that was great because I don't think, for me, I wouldn't say that I usually don't feel like I have imposter syndrome when it comes to acting. I don't feel like I have imposter syndrome, but when it comes to like doing stand up, I don't feel like I have imposter syndrome. I just know like I haven't been doing it as long as other people who are really great at, like, I'm not great at it yet. I'm not bad at it, but I'm not as great as I could be if I were already at it for, you know, a ton of years. So I think for me, I would say it's less about imposter syndrome and more of that feeling of you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Or you want more, or you're just like, but you're not quite there yet. you know? And
I don't think I don't have imposter syndrome with acting because I haven't achieved anything. So I have nothing. I don't have anything major to go like, look what I did. Oh, I'm an imposter. People are going to find out that I'm an imposter. But like, well, they're not, because they're not watching anything of me to get work. With comedy, I think certainly, because I have made some advancements that, or at one time I had more than some of my peers who I thought deserved it more. But now they're getting further ahead of me. So it's less that, or, but my successes have become so erratic in comedy. I completely have the imposter thing happening now. 'Cause when it does happen now, I'm like, no, it's not going to work. 'Cause I'm not even funny and I don't deserve this. But then it's like a struggle for a lot of things, I think. I haven't read, because you haven't been in a play of mine, but I always read, when I'm in a play, I always read something from Agnes DeMille.
I thought you were grabbing when you're reaching.
Where is Agnes? I'm going to see if I can find the quote, the Agnes DeMille quote that I read to my cast every show.
Nice.
But it's basically about the idea that artists are never satisfied.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what keeps you going. I did find it refreshing to hear some of the people I really look up to say those things, that even at their level, they still feel that way.
Yeah.
And like, did I talk about this last time? Like watching Dave Chappelle interview when he was talking about like being nervous. Like he has anxiety and gets so nervous. I'm like, what?
That's crazy.
You?
Me. Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, good to remember the things that are just human.
Okay. This is what it is. It's funny, 'cause I used to always have to search for it, 'cause I could never find it. Google's just awesome. Enough people love this quote too, I guess. So it's Martha Graham to Agnes DeMille. She said, "There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium and be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, or nor how valuable it is, nor how it compares with other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep open and aware directly to the urges that motivate you. Keep the channel open. No artist is pleased. There is no satisfaction whatever at any time. There is only a queer divine dissatisfaction, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching and makes us more alive than others."
I love that quote. I remember that from, I think, one of my theater teachers giving it to us.
Yeah. A divine dissatisfaction.
Yeah. I love that. I do too. Although I will say, I don't agree that there's never any satisfaction. I took great satisfaction at when we were done with our 48-hour film festival, like when we finished our script, when you're on stage and you hear the audience like cheering for you, or they give you hugs afterwards, like there's definitely, at least for me, these moments of pure, complete satisfaction. Really? Of like such a high level, but it doesn't last. It's temporary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's very, very temporary. And then it's back to what's the next thing, or how do I improve upon that? Or how do I get to the, you know, how do I step up my game?
I always want to keep working on it. So I'm like, I could do more to this. Like I'm never, Like, oh, I should have done this. I could do that.
Oh my goodness. That I feel like that is the epitome of that, I think, is leaving a commercial audition. Because they happen so quickly. Yeah. And so much is like, you know, 30-second facial reactions or this or that. And, you know, almost every single time when I leave, I think of like 15 other ways I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, that's just how it goes.
I freeze in commercial auditions. I do need to take a class to free that up. Like, I got to be better.
Do you ever just decide to just go in and just have fun?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. Well, seriously, when's the last time you... Well, I know it's been a while since you've gone in, but maybe a Zoom one you've done recently. Like, just if you... Yeah, classes are great, but I'm just saying, like, I'm curious what will happen if you just decide you're just going to have a good time.
I don't know, because I have the problem... I still have the theater problem of of being too expressive sometimes. A lot. I guess that's it. I do have the... I'm too expressive for the camera. Or then I'm too worried and then I hold too much back. So, and even though sometimes I'm like, oh, I think that was good. And then my person I'm reading, Nicole does this to me. Like I do it, she'll read for me, right? An audition, even over Skype now. Like,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I think I got that. And she's like, so do you want to do that again? Like, in the voice, like, like, maybe you should. I'm like, should I? I thought that was fine. I thought it was fine what I did. But I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for. I never know what they're looking for. That's my, like, I just want to get cast so I can just look at me. I'm going to do it. I'll do it. Whatever it is. We work way too hard. Like, they over worry who's going to do well in an audition.
Oh, my goodness. No, this is such a tangent, okay? This is such a tangent, but I just, can we like cut right now? I know we're not going to, but I told you before we started, I was feeling kind of down today and I didn't want to drag the podcast down just from this piece of news that I saw. So yeah. I don't have to go into the news,
okay.
But I realize it's because there were a few things that happened in like various news that I saw this week. But then on top of it, and I'm sure we talked about this on the podcast before, if not, it would have been in person. But like so many of my favorite shows, there's nobody in it who looks like me.
Yeah.
And I just get so freaking sad sometimes. Like sometimes I don't notice it at all. I'll be fine. I'll be watching the shows. But other times it just makes me really sad. And I think it's really hard for people to understand that who aren't in that position. Like I think it's like I've heard other people of color say things like this, but I think it hits at another level when it's, you're an actor and those are some of your dream roles, you know, it's like, it just hits at like these other, you know, obviously I don't want to dwell on it. And I'm like, well, what I need to do is I just need to write my own thing to create my own universe to where I can cast myself in people who look like me. But you know, you don't always want to have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
you don't want to have to do that. I mean, but I'm just like, yeah, probably I'm going to be pushed into that place at some point because I just.
Okay. This is why I watch anything that has anything on Netflix that I see black and racial. I don't care what genre it is, whatever. I try to watch it. Give it that click. Give it the clicks. Give it the views. And just to support it and see, and it is because sometimes it's just refreshing. I'm watching the show Lovecraft.
Yeah,
County.
It's on my list. I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, I don't know that you can handle it. Yeah, it's horror.
I have been watching some other intense shows, but I think it was just that brand of intensity. I just
horror gore. It is some gory moments in this that I'm like, fuck, I can't. I don't. So. But I'm watching it last night. I finally got to the finale. And I'm like, they're all black. I'm like, this is so fantastic. There's one white person, but they're like, it's all just blackety black everywhere, all different shades. And it's, even though that's improbable, they're probably darker, but I was like, gosh, it's so, I was like, damn, it's just so refreshing. Like, yeah, you just feel relaxed in the room watching it, even just watching it. And the hard part for me is because I don't, the problem for me is even in a really very black, even in a black movie, I don't identify. Like, because I'm very aware that I'm like, I don't know that any of them would think I'm black. They met me, they see me, or if they met me, I don't know if they would know that. Like, I identify with them, but I don't know if they'd identify me to be with them. And that's when I say there's no, and see, and I see you as just, you're just, Samantha Rund is a black woman. Like, I don't think anyone would question that. I don't think people say to you, like, oh, are you Latina? Right? Nobody says that to you. Are you Native
people
American?
Often,
are you
in, people often ask what I'm mixed with, but they generally know that,
yeah,
yes,
like, you're black.
Mixed.
But I don't get that from people. And so I'm just, I watch it and I was like, there's nothing. I'm always like, there's nobody. There's no show like me except for Mixed-ish. That's the only one. And I love that. I love that for that. I can't think of other shows that are, that represent me and my experience.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, I don't necessarily know that I see a lot of shows that represent my experience, but I know you're saying that.
But you identify as a black woman.
But don't you identify as being black? I mean, I identify as being black and I identify as being mixed.
Yeah.
So it just depends. It depends.
I always identify as black until people messed me up by asking me all these other things or thinking I was this. And I'm like, it's giving me an identity crisis that I was like, I was fine with myself. and then, you know, and doesn't, this acting thing doesn't help going to auditions and being sent to Turkish Airlines. They said, they just want anything ethnically ambiguous. You don't look like anything, Silas. So, but not white. You look not white.
So you do have a point in your TED Talk, for sure. Because it's an interesting.
What is the point, though?
Well, I mean, you're talking about your experience. Your experience isn't just being, it's not just being mixed. It's also people not identifying you with anything or incorrectly identifying you.
Yeah.
It's when you submitted to the, was it the Portland Black Comedy something?
Yeah,
and they were like, black. No,
well, he's not black.
He's not black. And you're like, what? Yes, I am. So I think there's something in that for sure.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. Right.
Holly Jolly.
Yeah. I've been watching, I'm late to the party, but I've been watching so much Outlander. Have you seen it? It's on Netflix. I'm sure it was out years ago. It's like set in the Scottish Highlands or something. I love Celtic and Scottish music, but it's called actually Outlander.
Outlander.
Yeah.
They don't try to cut each other's heads off and be the only one left. Okay.
I know.
That's Highlander. Yeah.
There can only be one, right? Yeah. I don't think I've seen Highlander, but it's, anyway, it was.
You're watching this series about Scotland and going, why am I not represented?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's like, it's, you know, like Tiffany Haddish. I don't know if I was watching her on some interview talking about how frustrated, not even frustrated, but like how much it hurts to not be able to look up her ancestry. Mm, right.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'm interested in classical and old things, right? Yeah. So it's like a lot of things on my queue. Yes, I watch a ton of comedies and stuff like that too. But yeah, there's like Outlander. There's like, I haven't seen much Downton Abbey, which I'm also late to. And like The Queen. And there's just like all of these European 1700s, 1800s, like olden great costumes, like all of this stuff. So of course it's filled with all white people, right? But it's not just that. It's like the other titles too. It's just, I was really noticing it.
Right.
And I'm like, it's one of those things where I'm like, come on, like there's other history stories where we can be in it too. I don't know what they are, yeah. which is kind of why I want to just create my own universe of like, so that I can be in it in this costume and talk in this old way. You know, it's just one of those things of like, you just, yes, I love the show and it's so good. But I'm on another tangent here. Another thing though, is that show has like, so I can tell I'm assuming it was not filmed in America. It does not seem like it was filmed in America because it has so much like, there's a certain way that they do nudity in other countries.
What, casually?
Sometimes casually, and actually sometimes not casually. It's just like the way that the nudity is done is a bit different. And I think to myself like, oh my goodness, how are their significant others dealing, like handling this right now? Because it's not just like their real life significant others, right? Because it's not just them being nude. It's like them engaging in certain activities while nude.
Yeah.
And
we have those movies here.
Well, sure. I'm just saying, like, I feel like the way that it's shot is a little bit different. I feel like when I see those, like, in American movies, it tends to be more like MTV-ized. In terms of it's more like it's like a party, or it's like super like intense, or like, you know, it's just a little bit different. Or I feel like when I watch it where it's been shot in other countries, it's like the camera just happened to be left on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so my tangent, I think huge tangent about that.
Have you seen this movie or not? It's not a movie, but it's like a, it's called a limited, they're calling them limited series.
Okay.
On Netflix. It's now they're doing like basically one seasons of some show, like the big one right now, Queen's Gambit, right?
I've been waiting for that one. It's on my list.
It's a limited, yeah. That's called a limited series because there's no intention to make a second season at all.
Yeah. I've seen feel like more of those on HBO, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
They have one, there's one with Octavia Spencer and Tiffany Haddish in it called Self-Made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Inspired by the life of Madam C.J. Walker.
Amazing.
You watched it?
How did I get derailed from that? I watched a couple episodes and then I got
there's only four. Derailed.
Oh, I think I probably just have one more episode left then. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's an interesting part of history that it's one of those reminders like, oh, there is history. There is stories of us.
Yep.
And
an impressive woman.
Especially like I always forget that there are how many the black wealth that the country once had before it's all burned down. Like, oh, there was a whole circle of people.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing that there were black entrepreneurs in this time and maybe they kept to their own space. You know, there's part of me that's like, look, segregation was not right. Right. But there's part of me that was like, did integration happen? Was it done on purpose to help end black wealth? Because when people were segregating, they had nowhere else to go. The money was kept in the community. It built up wealth in the community. It's like you're looking at this Black Wall Street in Tulsa. Black Wall Street existed because there were no ice cream shops to go to. There were no movie theaters to go to. There were none of anything that they couldn't go to white people's stuff. So they made their own. And so all the money they got from the white people went into the black community. And then after they burned it all down and then integration happened, people stopped. They would take money from the white community and put it back into the white community.
Did they burn it down before integration?
Yeah, we'll help make them poor before there, and then the only money they could get was there. I was just like, I wanted to look, because black home ownership is at its lowest levels ever, right? I mean, since pre-civil rights. I want to know what black business ownership is like. That's what I want. That's a stat I want to see. Because I'm shocked at how many, all these like, unless they're just hidden now, like, how do I not know about as many? I feel like I don't know about as many Black-owned businesses that there's apparently, and there used to be all these Black millionaires. Mm. And now there's Oprah, right? And no, I mean, there's other entertainers too, but.
Right.
And there's a handful of others that are entrepreneurs that we know of, like the Shark Tank guy and whatnot, but it just doesn't seem to come as from as many sources as I guess it used to be. Kind of like I've talked about, I don't know if I talked about it on here, but there's a Malcolm, I'm a big Malcolm Gladwell fan, right? I listened to his podcast, Revisionist History. And he talks about the side of the Brown versus Board of Education decision that people don't talk about or forget why it happened. And the result, one of the biggest results and detriments to the Black community was how they followed it by closing the Black schools, which fired all the Black teachers.
Mm.
Because and at the time when you were, if you were a smart, educated Black person, one of the few jobs you could get was a teacher job. So when they closed those, you had all these out-of-work educated Black people who just had to go work at a ice cream parlor or something because they couldn't get a job. And then the detriment to the Black students who then had nobody, they had no teachers because they fired all the Black teachers. Didn't integrate those, so they weren't able to, so the Black students had no one to go to when things were tough that they needed to talk about with the harassment or whatever. And do you know that having one Black male teacher in elementary school improves the odds of a Black person graduating high school by 60%?
I could definitely see that. Just now one. That you said that,
just
makes sense.
One.
Yep.
And that's nationally, of course, and
yeah,
suburbs and stuff. It doesn't matter as much, but so there's downfall. So I was like, I was watching the like part of Lovecraft Country.
Mm-hmm.
Is the flashback to Tulsa in the very first episode, in the first 5 seconds of it. So it's not a spoiler.
You knew I was going to say no spoilers.
Yeah. So I'm saying, but that's the backdrop to knowing.
Yeah.
And it made everybody, it made the country who watched it look it up to go, did this happen? Was this real? Yeah.
That's what happened when I saw Watchmen with Regina King.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they touched on Tulsa, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, was it Tulsa?
Yep.
Well, now, now I'm like, wait, did I mix up? Did they both just happen to be there? Huh. That's weird. I was like, am I blank? So Watchmen did that. Yeah. So Watchmen was the first one that brought it up. And that's just absolutely nuts. It's just nuts. Like that I didn't. Like I knew, but I remember I think I knew about it and read about it, but I don't think I actually appreciated the amount of Black wealth that was there until the stupid TV show showed it. And you go, what? Wait, for real? Like that? That was that wealthy? How? But rich people don't get to keep everything. Whether you're Black or white, if you're rich, that's it, right? You're rich, you win. I will say I do think society is a little more classist now. I do think that if you are a billionaire Black man, you do have that leg up quite a bit. Maybe. Unless you're Jay-Z.
Unless you're Jay-Z?
Yeah, I don't think he gets respected by the football NFL like he should for being an owner.
Oh.
Should be. He's like not on the forefront, and he should be.
Oh.
Like he's an owner. Well, he's an owner, but over there.
Yeah, I don't have many football comments, so.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
So it's Christmas.
almost. And I can't believe next Thursday is Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I gotta mail something.
Yeah, I haven't even done all my shopping. Like
any of it?
I've done like barely anything. And so, yeah, I'm not going to the stores to go shopping since we're not supposed to be out more than is necessary.
That has made it feel pretty lame to me. Like, what am I going to do? Just go.
Yeah.
But I have to take my daughter to go shopping because she still remembers that she bought her mom Olaf socks for Christmas last year. And she gets so excited. And today she saw that her mom had them on and she said, "Are you going to wear those on Christmas?"
That is so cute.
So I got to take her out. I just haven't. Because I don't want to point to things online for her. So I got to take her. Got to go shopping. Shopping for your mama. Is it weird to not go to a store to shop? Does it feel impersonal?
It doesn't feel as fun.
I agree. It feels more of like an obligation to me.
It does. It feels like, especially when you're not even going to, like, I'm not going to see them. Yeah, exactly. Like, I can say, "Hey, FaceTime me when you open it." But it's just, it feels like an event when I go Christmas shopping at the store.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously, I don't feel like I should complain about anything that seems trivial now. But yeah, I know. But we still get to have our feelings.
A low level, I can't decide if it's low level boredom or like, or stir craziness. It's just, it's not even stress. And like, it's just this
malaise.
I just like to do something. Just want to do something.
I know. I want to take a drive and go see the lights or something. That'd be fun. That's Christmassy. The
Christmas lights?
There's got to be some place that's got lots of Christmas lights up.
Like houses?
Sure. Just wherever.
We did that Sunday night.
Yeah, we didn't do that yet.
People are decked out.
Exactly.
People
are
more than normal decorating.
Yeah. I got the tree up and stuff. It looks good. But
where you live, your undisclosed location.
Yeah, that's right.
You have some great, think you have some great areas.
We'll be able to get to someplace pretty easily, I think,
There that are over the top.
Yeah.
There's somebody
if I had a loudspeaker, I could do some caroling from the car, maybe, you know.
Why do you need a loudspeaker?
I don't.
You can yell out the.
It just seemed better. And more ridiculous that
jingle
way.
Jingle bells. Jingle bells. I would love that. That would be great.
Plug my keyboard into the.
Maybe we should go caroling. No, 6 feet. If we did a 12 foot apart caroling.
Yeah.
Outside.
So we'd just cover a block and each person run up to ring a doorbell.
Then we run to the sidewalk.
Right, and we'd have to be far away enough that we'd each be standing at a different house. We could do one block at a time.
I like the idea of taking turns. Or the fields we go, and then... It's a good sketch. It'd be a good sketch. Too bad we can't get people together to film it.
If we stand really far away, I suppose.
Long lenses.
Yeah.
Personal recorders.
I'm so
surprised.
I'm so surprised there's still so much filming going on. I don't think there's like a ton going on here, and film sets are being very safe, but I'm still surprised by the number of.
There's a lot of. Goodness.
Actually, I just saw a friend posted. He lives in Georgia. So this is. I'm not on the film thing right. I'm not on the film thing anymore right now. But he was talking about. He went into the store and there were like 30 people in there. He was the only one wearing a mask.
Yeah, no, they don't give a shit in Georgia.
I'm still so freaking shocked by this.
They're filming in Georgia too a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They a lot of sets are doing very well with self of bubbles, the bubbles they're creating and keeping everyone's self.
Yeah. Contained. A lot of sets are being really safe.
And also, I think we also just don't realize how long things take to get put out. So coming out this week, The Stand, Stephen King, The Stand, a miniseries. It's like the fourth one that's come out of this book, right? It was shot last November in Canada.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just getting released now. Do you know the story of The Stand?
No.
It's about a virus.
Oh, boy.
That gets out and destroys 99.7% of the population. Thank you, CBS All Access.
Oh, goodness.
For helping us escape. Thank you for the escapism that your network is providing for us to have something that's just so completely fictional.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
It does have this supernatural element in it, too, because it's a Stephen King novel. So,
yeah,
you know that's going to be there.
More talk about television, though.
Yeah.
Right now. Do you watch Grey's Anatomy still?
Still. I like how you said
forever.
Still.
Ever. I know, right?
Never.
I assume you've never seen Grey's Anatomy?
Never.
Never?
Maybe seen an episode, but not.
What?
To ingest it.
What? See, that is a show that has a nice level of diversity on it.
Yeah.
Like,
I think when it came out,
I really
didn't care as much.
I really enjoy the show anyway, but it's one of those shows where, like, on top of me just enjoying it, it's like that is another bonus for me. But this past week's episode was really good and powerful. And I find it to be comforting in a way to see some of like what we're seeing on the news. Do you know what I mean? Like incorporated in the TV shows, because it's not only focusing on them dealing with the virus. Cause you know, they always have all their relationship stuff going on in that series.
They're talking about it. So they're doing,
yes,
they're doing real shows then.
Yes. And they're wearing masks and they're dealing with COVID in it. But like this, no, oh my gosh, this
I'm uncomfortable. It means they're shooting. I don't like that.
Well, okay. Yeah. But no, I mean, yes and no. I feel like for a set like that, they're going to be super, super strict with their protocols and everything.
They better.
And there are sets that are filming right now. That's kind of what I was saying. I'm amazed by the number of things that are still shooting. But no, I'm sure they're being super safe on Grey's. But anyway, this last week's episode was really, really good. And I think you would have actually really liked it.
Is it like a one-offer? Like, would I be able to watch it and not know the history?
You could still get something out of it for sure. And especially some of the topics that they're talking about that are very topical right now. There's a few things I think you would be relieved to hear them talking about in television.
Do you think a good series should? Because there's been a couple series that I started watching because I heard it was good, but it was like in the fourth season and I did like it. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to watch the old ones when, you know, during summer break or whatever, like NYPD Blue.
Oh, well,
I went back.
That's more episodic too, right?
There's storylines. There's whole storylines.
I feel like some don't rely as heavily on the.
So ones that you feel like change a lot, you're just lost in unless you start.
I feel like ones where they're really relationship based and less plot based, like let's solve this mystery, this case, this episode. Like, yeah, you are going to have some character things and like relationship stuff that, you know, grow over time or change over time. And you will miss out on those nuances and those changes, but you can still enjoy solving the case with them, right? You can still get that. But with like Schitt's Creek, I finally, after you telling me to watch it a million times, I finally actually got through it. I finished the last episode today. I finished the last episode today.
I only watched the first three episodes.
Oh my God. Stop. Silas, don't.
I liked it.
No, Silas. I was just doing an Alexis impression. not a good, yeah, I'm not going to even try to do a Moira impression right now. Yeah, it's good. Watch the whole freaking thing.
Yeah, I'd want to.
Yeah.
But there's so many things.
Yeah.
So many things that I could watch. I should do that. Should be one of them.
Is it, right.
You know, it's a problem. Some shows I want to watch so bad, I don't watch them because I want everything to be right. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to, like Emily in Paris. It's not a good show. And I'm almost done with it because I fold laundry during it. I can do other things that I don't care.
Is it a series?
If I'm distracted. Yes. It's a one season so far. They should cancel it. It's not good, but I keep turning it on because I want to know how this is going to end and what they're going to do. But it's not good.
There are some like that. Like
fold laundry. I can fold laundry during it because I don't care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so busy that I'm like, if it's a show I care, if I want to see, like I care, I liked Schitt's Creek the first episodes, so I want to sit there with a bowl of ice cream.
You said ice cream so many times this episode. I really want ice cream now.
I do too.
Ugh. Do you have any at your house?
Just vanilla.
I don't think we have any more. Sad. I think I have one spoonful left.
DoorDash it. I'm way too into it. So I gotta, and that time is precious. So I need to get over that.
Well, with Grey's Anatomy, I would tell you go from the beginning because there's so much character development, right? But if you're not going to go from the beginning and you just want to see this last episode to see what I'm talking about, then watch the last episode so we can talk about it. the most recent episode so we can talk about it. But Right. Yeah, it's definitely worth going and watching from the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do it.
It's
Canadian, so it's not actually, the seasons aren't that long.
Either. You mean Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
I just jumped back to Grey's Anatomy.
No, I'm not going to watch that. But I might watch that one episode.
Okay.
To see what I should
do. Man, there's so many things you missed out on, which is, it's okay.
I know like some of the stuff. You
never got to experience McSweetie, Dr. Yang.
McSweetie.
McDreamy and McSteamy.
McDreamy, McSteamy.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the...
McFlurry. No, just kidding.
The homophobic black guy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
Oh, not the character, the real person.
Yeah.
Missed out on him. You know what? You don't watch Mandalorian, so really...
But it is... I do need to watch it. It's on the list because enough people have told me, but you're right. It's not...
But you're not... Why are people telling you to watch it? You're not a Star Wars...
Yeah, but because they love it and they think it's such a good show. So I'm like, I need to remember to watch it because I do intend to. I have seen Star Wars before. I just don't watch it as much as anybody else does.
No, I'm just saying, like, but you're not like a, yeah, you've seen it, but not like you're like, oh, there's a new Star Wars coming out, because you would have seen it if that's.
Yeah, you're
right. I don't know how someone who's not into it would feel about it. I will say. I don't feel this is a spoiler, okay? It's not a spoiler to know an actor is in it, is there?
Oh, no.
Bill Burr is in it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And when he his second episode.
You're telling me to watch it because I'm going to enjoy Bill Burr's performance in it,
Bill
right?
Bill Burr's performance? Like, shocking. Just think of him as a stand-up.
Yeah, but did you see King of Staten Island? You didn't see that yet, did you?
I have not. Did you tell me that?
Yeah, he was great in it.
That was you. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to have to start watching some of the things you recommend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I watched so much stuff. I just watched also Olive Kitteridge. I know. I just watched it. I'm like, how do I say her name? Have you seen it? It has Frances McDormand in it. It's a limited series on HBO. And that was one where I was like, I'll watch it. She's a good actress. And then I had a hard time watching it because it's not like an especially happy, like, but I was just curious what would happen. And I'm actually glad I watched all four episodes. I thought it had a good ending.
here I'm
it's just hard watching. It's hard watching like things where it's just like miserable people and there's not like a ton of, and it's not a lot of mystery, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just texted you King of Staten Island because then I'll remember.
Oh, so that you remember.
And then I'll remember it's from you.
I like your, that Martha, I mean, the Martha Graham quote, which I forgot about. So thank you for the reminder. I totally want to post it on Facebook. Just have it up there. The wall of quotes.
But you know, like, it's just, there's some, like, look, I like this Octavia Spencer's Self-Made. I liked it, right? Fine. But like this Mandalorian, I mean, just the fact that, so Bill Burr has a scene that I just go, I love shows that have a scene that you go, holy shit.
Oh my goodness.
I was not expecting this. How, like, you're good. This was a well-written scene and you were good.
Nurse Ratched. Have we talked about that already?
Nurse Ratched from Cuckoo's Nest?
The series Ratched.
Ratched.
The series Ratched. Okay. There's just, another woman who comes in later.
Okay.
And she just, I mean, like Ratched, like the cast was great, right? And but this woman who comes in and she does this incredible jaw-dropping performance, and she's brown too.
Nice.
And it was like, oh my goodness. That was one of those roles where I was like,
was it a whole role or was there a particular scene in it that made you go, whoa, or a monologue?
It was
or?
her whole role, but there was like a specific scene. It might have been her first, I think it was her first big scene in it. It was epic. It was epic. Yeah.
There's a play I directed called The Cover of Life. I've directed it once for the high school and once with adults. I did the adult one first. And there's a monologue that's like...
I'm sorry, I'm texting you so that I don't forget to watch Mandalorian, and I spelled it wrong. I put down mandolin.
There's like a three-page monologue that someone gives in the middle of this. And it's just like, it's an opportunity for the actor to just shine. You know, because it's just them on stage
and
deliver it. And it's a fantastic monologue. And both times I did it, I had somebody that did it well. And it's just that you get those that pearl in it. That's just, you're like, whoa, that's acting. That's why I like to do this. And I wouldn't expect it from a show like Mandalorian. And I'm like, where else is the unexpected? That's what I need to find. Unexpected greatness in television or film, like where are the unexpected
greatness?
I keep telling people about the show Love. Nobody's watched it.
Love
on Netflix. I love this show.
I think I've seen it,
maybe,
or at least like, is it one season or two seasons?
It's like, it's two or three.
Is it British?
No, it takes place in LA.
Well, maybe I haven't seen it then.
I really
anyway,
nobody watches it, and I was like, I thought it was a great little show. Why has nobody watched this? Nobody recommends it. I'm always the only one. And then sometimes people will pipe in and go, oh, that's so good. I love that show. But nobody ever recommends it. They're always recommending the same ones, you know, that everybody.
Yeah. Silas.
Yeah.
I want to do a segment with you to add to our other many projects of unexpected greatness.
Let's find like greatness.
Yeah, if we're ever watching something where like one of these performances stands out, we should make a note and just be pretty cool.
How do you?
I don't know. We could figure out more of the details.
Yeah,
without
spoiling it. How you like? Oh,
well, people. If there was an episode like that, they'd have to know there would be spoilers.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yep.
Unexpected greatness in television.
Or a separate offshoot video we could talk about it on.
Yeah, that's true.
Be cool. Yeah.
One of those Facebook watch videos. Here are 10 of the unexpected great films brought to you by Black and a Half. Please subscribe.
Yeah.
After the ding. I watch a lot of Facebook Watch.
I don't. I don't, but I was there for the journey with you.
WrestleMania's greatest hits. We're counting down the top 10. No.
The top 10. The top 10, the toppity top 10.
There are so many Facebook wrestling channels apparently of different shows that do like it cracks me. I was like, clearly I've watched too many because it shows them all to me now. I'm like, how are it's amazing. We're at time here.
Man. We are at time. I mean, I had a great time. I'm curious if the listeners had a great time.
The listeners enjoy us. I at one point had said we should do this as the Christmas episode, but obviously it's going to have to be next week. We got to focus on, we got to buckle down like last
year.
That's
right.
Like last year, we got to buckle down for this holiday episode. We can't share cookies with the cookie lady again.
Whoa, the holiday episode.
You don't remember this?
No, we were in person last year.
Yeah.
And we shot a promo and we wore our sweaters.
Yes, we were ugly.
And I can't believe it. That's crazy to me. It's like, what, like a week after that? Like a week after that, my back went out and then 2020 was like, bam.
It was like a year ago because we shot two. We did two episodes back to back in one day.
Yeah.
So we could have Christmas off.
That's right. Yep.
I didn't plan it this year, but Silas Lindstein, bad planner. Hashtag 2020.
Poor 2020.
Everything's 2020.
I feel so bad for the year. I mean, 2020, it's only year to shine. It's getting blamed for all of the things humans have done. The year it's innocent.
It had so much promise when we started. Hindsight's 2020, right? We had all these catchy mottos like, we're gonna get Trump out, so it's gonna be an awesome year. Oh, it's gonna be so much fun.
So some of those things are actually accurate.
Well,
then.
I mean, that did happen, but it took a lot of upheaval in life to make it happen. But we'll be back next week. Maybe we might have a guest. But it'll be Christmas themed,
right?
Or holiday themed for all of our non Christmas celebrators out there. But we might talk about Christmas stuff because that's what we do. But anyway, you should tune in, and because it'll be one of those episodes with unexpected greatness.
Yes, yes.
Black and a half.